Right before Jesus ascends to the Father, he speaks to his disciples one last time. Now, final words are important to us. We read the words of well-known people in books. And when it seems that we don't have a lot of time left with a loved one, we lean in. We listen carefully. And when they are gone, we repeat to one another what was said. And with that in mind, let us listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. And then in Acts 1 verse 4 we read, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Now imagine how the disciples must have felt when they heard these words. They knew Jesus was going away. He said so on numerous times. He was leaving, and now he was instructing them to continue his mission to announce the good news that another kind of life, what he calls a life in the kingdom of God, is available. Now they must have doubted that they had what it took. They looked around and they knew who they were. They were people who were afraid when Jesus was arrested. Peter knew he denied Jesus. Thomas knew he doubted that Jesus, in fact, was risen from the dead. They were hiding in fear after Jesus' death. So they must have wondered, so how will we go to the Jews, these very same people who murdered Jesus because he wasn't the Messiah they hoped for? How would we be able to tell them that Jesus was, in fact, the Son of God, wanted to transform their lives, bring them peace? They must have thought, and what about the Greeks? Them with their sophisticated philosophies and their hundreds of gods. How would they respond to us, simple men, and our message that God, in fact, became human? He lived amongst us. He died and he rose. They must have thought, we do not have what it takes. We will need help. But you know what? Here we are, 2,000 years later, and the message of Jesus is still touching hearts and changing people's lives. They did receive help. In our time together, we will explore the words of Jesus with these three questions. What is the gift promised to us? How does this gift help us? And how do we receive the gift? So what is the gift promised to us? A short while before Jesus was crucified, he spent a long time speaking to his disciples, preparing them for what was to come. In this other set of last words, Jesus tells them, let's listen together. The Holy Spirit will come and help you. Because the Father will send the Spirit to take my place, the Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of what I said while I was with you. The gift promised to the disciples and to us is not an it, but it's a who. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the personal presence of God. Jesus said that it's to their benefit, to our benefit, that he goes away. Now, while Jesus was on earth, he could only be at one place at one time. But now through his Spirit, he would be with them individually wherever they went. And as Jesus helped his disciples by encouraging them, teaching them, and living with them, through his Holy Spirit, he would continue to do just that. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. It's the mutual indwelling of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate them. God is three in one. And in the Trinity, we see love. John Powell writes that the Trinity works together to make God's love known to us. It is a love that is always available to us. And he then compares God's love to the sun. Now let's think about this. The sun radiates warmth and light through its rays. Whatever the sun's rays touches, it experiences the warmth and the love. Now you cannot separate the sun from its rays or its effect. It's in the nature of the sun to always shine and to give warmth and light. Now it is true that clouds might cover it, but the sun still shines. The sun cannot act against its essential nature. We cannot stop the sun from shining. Now we might separate ourselves from the sun by putting up an umbrella or going indoors, or we can allow the sun to give us its light and warmth. And in the same way, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit works together. Like the sun shining, God's love never ceases. God sends out rays of divine love to us. And so we could say the sun represents God in Jesus Christ, and the effect of the rays represent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to experience the love of God. And this is our deepest longing. Our deepest longing is to know that we are love. Now, if we stay with this metaphor of the sun for a while, the sun also causes things to grow, to change. And so the work of God in our lives, through the Holy Spirit, it changes us. Now, we often call that grace. And we need God's Spirit to work in us, to accept His message of love. And we need the Holy Spirit to live in the warmth of His love and to be changed by it. Now, scholars have said that the words for grace and Holy Spirit is so closely linked to one another that you could exchange these two words wherever you read them in the New Testament, and it won't lose any meaning to the text. And it's something maybe to remember when you read the word grace or Holy Spirit. Swap them out and see if it helps you to get a deeper understanding and a deeper experience of God's work in your life. Now, God being three and one is a mystery to us. It's a mystery that's very difficult to figure out. And so it's maybe a mystery rather to experience. The church in the East uses a picture word to describe the relationship of the Trinity. The word is perichoresis. Peri, meaning round, and choresis, dance. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is in a harmonious dance of mutual respect and love. And so we are invited into this reality, into this dance. Now, to be honest, I don't know about you, but I struggle to dance. I think I have two left feet. I step on other people's toes. I need help. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to learn how to dance with God. That brings us to the question, how does the gift, the Holy Spirit, help us? Now, a few years ago, there was a funny TV ad. Maybe you remember it. A seemingly successful businessman rushes to the check-in counter of an airline at the airport, and he demands a seat on the next flight. The assistant calmly tells him, "Sir, unfortunately, it's not possible. The flight is fully booked." And then in anger, this businessman asks, "Do you know who I am?" So the attendant takes a sip of a effervescent vitamin, and it seems that she clicks. She apologizes to the man. She grabs the public announcement mic and she says, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We seem to have a gentleman here who has forgotten who he is." How easily we forget who we are. From all different directions, we are told to find the answers of who we are in what we achieve, in what we own, or in what we experience. And sometimes we do find our identity in it, only to find ourselves longing for more. So how does the gift, the Holy Spirit, help us to live in the reality of God's love? How does the Holy Spirit help us to join the dance? Firstly, by reminding us of who we are. The central message of Jesus was that we are God's beloved. He models this for us through his own life. You remember at his baptism, Jesus by that time hasn't started his public ministry yet. He hasn't done any miracles, he hasn't preached. But as he gets out of the water, a voice from heaven, the voice of God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now the Holy Spirit helps us to awaken to the reality that we are in fact God's beloved children. Romans 8 verse 15 puts it like this: "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Now, Henry Nouwen has written about how difficult this is for us, this reality to receive this for us. He writes that we reject the self of who we are. He writes, "Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved expresses the core truth of our existence." Now it's God's Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit, his presence, that continues to whisper in our heart that we are God's beloved, that you are God's beloved. Now, did you notice that Romans also said that it's by the Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father? The Holy Spirit helps us to awaken to not just who we are, but also to who God is. Jesus was the first person to ever talk of God with the word Abba. Now, Abba is a intimate word. It's similar to our daddy or mommy. It speaks of closeness, of intimacy, of care, of trust. And throughout his life, Jesus made known to us who the Father is. At one place, he says that if we've seen him, we've seen the Father. He shows us who the Father is through what he did, but also through his words. In Jesus, we see a God that reaches out to people who are broken, who's rejected, who's lost. We see God as the Father waiting for his Son to return to him. And when he does, he throws a party. He restores him. God is the Father who looks out for the lost sheep, the lost coin. And when he finds it, he's filled with joy. Now, often in spiritual direction, people will tell me that they feel ashamed. They feel that God must be so disappointed in them for everything that they have done. Now, it's interesting to me because I don't find that in the scripture. It's like when you tell your child not to touch the warm stove, and then when they do, we are not so much disappointed in them. It's not that anything changes how we feel about them. Yes, we are disappointed for them. We are disappointed that they acted in a way that caused harm to themselves. But what do? If you're a good parent, you do not shy away from the child. You go to them. You comfort them. You disinfect the wound. You help them. And this is exactly what God did to Adam and Eve after the fall. God goes out looking for them. He finds them. And even though there are consequences to their choice, he makes them close to cover their shame. It's the Holy Spirit in us that helps us to awaken to the reality that you are God's beloved. That's who you are. It's your identity. And the Holy Spirit helps us to awaken to the reality of who God is, Abba. He helps us then in how we relate to God, in how we pray. The Holy Spirit helps us in how we read the scriptures. He helps us and he teaches us in every walk of our life with God. And as we receive the Holy Spirit help in awakening to this reality of who we are and of who God is, he also helps us to awaken to see other people as God's beloved. And so he helps us to love and to forgive, to comfort, to be a witness. And this brings us to the third question. How do we receive this gift? In Acts 1 verse 4, Jesus tells the disciples, wait for the gift my Father promised. Now firstly, Jesus calls the Spirit of God a gift. Have you noticed God loves to give us gifts? In love, God gives and gives and gives. God is irrationally generous. He gives us this world to live in, and He created it with so much generosity. There's so many colors and variety. Just look at all the plants and animals and all the things around us, the landscapes. And in His love, God gifts us with the gift of life. We played no part in being here, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances were around your birth. God decided to give you the gift of life. It gives God great joy to give us gifts. And maybe you've experienced something of this joy in giving a gift too. Last year, my wife and I, Liesl, we decided that it was time to get our four-year-old her very first bicycle. So we loaded her in the car and we took Reese to a bicycle shop and we showed her around. I had her test a few of the different bicycles. And then I told her, that one is yours. And she was so happy. The bike was faster, it was pink, and best of all, it had a bell. My heart was filled with so much joy in seeing the joy it brought her in getting that bike. God yearns to give us more of Him. And He gives Himself to us not as a reward for attaining some spiritual level or by praying the right words or by having enough or more faith. God gives us the gift of His presence, of His Holy Spirit, because God loves us. So how do we receive this gift? By doing what the disciples were told to do, by waiting on God. Now, to be honest, waiting is not easy. It's difficult to ask. We ask for patience, but we want patience now. But when we wait, we are not in control. When we wait, we have to trust in the giver. Now, we can learn how to wait on God in praying, in prayer. We can learn by being with God without having to say a word or without having to hear anything. It's by simply being silent and open and trusting, just being with God, waiting on Him. Now, of course, when we sit in silence with God, it doesn't take long before our mind starts to wander, to drift. And so I found it helpful to have a short phrase, maybe something like, Jesus, have mercy, or just Jesus, mercy, to help me return to my attention, just to be with God. Now, often when we sit with God, waiting on Him, you won't feel anything. It's as the sun shines, the effect of it isn't always visible. But as we wait on God, His love, His presence changes us. God gives Himself to us. God gives us what we need. The Holy Scripture says that the Holy Spirit within us prays. Isaiah 40 says that when we wait on God, when we put our trust in Him, He renews our strength. Now, to be sure, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is not a once-off. It asks us to train ourselves, to develop a practice of just being in His presence, waiting on Him to work in us, to receive what He wants to give us. Now, friends, I'm sure that you would agree with me that we need God's help. We need His Spirit to help us to join in His dance. We need Him to help us to awaken to who we are, His beloved. We need His help to awaken to who He is, our Abba. And we need His help to live in His kingdom, in our everyday going, and to join Him on His mission and His dream to make everything around us new. Trevor Hudson tells the story of what happened when electricity was first installed to homes. The power company was excited to see how people's lives would change by having access to power now. But they found that they had a customer who had a very low monthly bill. It seems like they rarely used any of the power. So they tasked a representative to investigate. He checked that the connection to the house was in working order and then made an appointment to meet the owners of the house. So he came there, he knocked on the door, introduced himself, and he was invited in. And then he asked the homeowner, "Are you happy with the electricity to your house?" "Oh, yes," came the answer from the homeowner. "We are very happy. It's changed my life." So the rep asked, do say more. "How so?" So the owner told him, "Well, every night when it turns dark outside, I switch on the lights. I find my candles and my matches easily. I light it and I switch off the lights. It's wonderful." Friends, God wants to give us more of Himself. He wants us to help us to live in the power of His presence. He wants us to receive the gift of Himself. And will you receive this gift, the gift of His Spirit to you? Will you wait on Him? Let us pray. God, thank you for being with us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you that we are not orphans, but that we are your beloved children. God, and thank you that you are not far away, but that you are present with us wherever we go. Lord, we ask that you will help us to receive your personal presence in our life, not just in our minds, but also in our hearts. Lord, and as we wait on you, as we receive you, we want to open up to you. We want to trust that you will transform every part of our being. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you go with the blessing of the Lord. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is with you. Amen.